800-480-1888.
What do you get when you take five men and put them together with the president? A snooze fest. More like repeats. Turn the station, you got the same thing over and over and over again. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, captain of the ship called America Tonight. We're going to sail here and there and everywhere in between during this jam-packed hour. We start with Barack Obama, the president pushing his main agenda, which is health care reform. But, of course, he was asked a slew of other questions by all of the various anchors who talked to him or talk show hosts for their Sunday shows on the tube. One of the things that he was asked about was Acorn, naturally, which is embroiled in all of this controversy. Federal funding should absolutely be pulled from Acorn. Why do we pay for this organization after all the things we've seen in these videotapes? Plus, you got to remember, this isn't something new. There have been scandals previous to this, particularly during the campaign when bogus names were put on registrations, registered voters who were dead, half of them, which is what many of the Acorn workers did when they went out into the field to get their money. They would write down false names. That was shocking enough. And now you have this crazy hidden camera video stuff that showed employees at Acorn and a couple posing as a prostitute and a pimp, and they were telling the couple to lie about her profession and how to actually launder her earnings to get her housing aid. Very, very outrageous. Certainly not the only problem, like I said, for this group, which has, what, nearly $1 million embezzled by its founder's brother. That was one thing that happened, remember. And, of course, the voter registration fraud that I just mentioned. So the House and the Senate voted last week, as you know, to deny federal bucks to Acorn. While he was on George Stephanopoulos' show this week on ABC, Obama was asked about Acorn. Here was his response.
Congress said they should cut off all funding for Acorn. Are you for that?
Is that true on the other side as well? Of course that's true.
How about the funding for Acorn?
You know, it's frankly, it's not really something I followed closely. I didn't even know that Acorn was getting a whole lot of federal money.
But the Senate and the House have voted to cut it off.
You know, what I know is that what I saw on that video was certainly inappropriate and deserves to be.
So you're not committing to cut off the federal funding?
George, this is not the biggest issue facing the country. It's not something I'm paying a lot of attention to.
Afghanistan is a big issue facing the country.
That is a big issue. That's worth talking about.
All right, so he sidestepped Acorn sort of by saying, you know, to tell you the truth, I didn't even know that Acorn was getting a whole lot of federal money. It's at least a couple of million dollars. So anyway, what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks is that Acorn is going to try to clean up its activities so that everybody doesn't bail on them, so to speak. The government is investigating what's going on. The voter fraud cases are still pending. The Housing and Urban Development Department's Inspector General is saying, yes, we are looking into this, blah, blah, blah. Acorn is a group, just so you know, that started back in the 70s in Arkansas. The idea was to help the poor. And today, of course, it is a huge, huge national multi-million dollar conglomerate, to say the least. Acorn's Political Action Committee endorsed Obama for president. His campaign paid an Acorn subsidiary $832,000 to get out the vote. And Obama, as we know, a former community organizer, has ties to the group. He represented, I guess back in 95, represented them in a lawsuit against the state of Illinois over motor voter law. So there you have it. That was just one of the many things that was talked about. The main push, of course, was over health care reform, but there were other questions, obviously, that were asked along the way, too. And I think he was good at avoiding many of the thorny things that were brought up to him, including the question of race, which we'll get to that coming up around the bend here. There are other things we're going to talk about on the show besides Obamapalooza and his visits to all these various TV talk show hosts, We'll talk about some of the other things that are going on across the nation that are important to us, including maybe the bailout of the newspaper industry, which I think is ridiculous. More federal money to bail out yet somebody else that has their hand out. This time it's the newspapers. And they got to start bailing us out. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the government cutting checks for the automotive industry, for the idiots on Wall Street, and whoever they deem is necessary to the kingdom. Let's go to Tomas, who's listening to us in Michigan. Hey, Tomas.
Good evening to you, Kate. I was listening to you and then looking something up on the internet because, you know, you always compare the healthcare thing with car insurance, and I think Obama stepped in it real deep. I'm quoting him when it says, right now, everybody in America just about has to get auto insurance. Nobody considers that a tax increase. I mean, the Republicans should jump on him like a trampoline competition on that one, because he's just speaking like Bill Clinton when he said, I didn't have sexual relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, you know? He's just saying, oh, yeah, it's not like an income tax increase, but it's still an increase. So Republicans should go say, okay, so it's not a tax increase. It's like another insurance payment, you know?
And, right, we can't afford another insurance payment. It's a tax increase, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Republicans should just tear him up on that. They should say, okay, Mr. President, we're not going to play any more word games with the American public here, all right? You can call it what you want, but it is another payment Americans are going to have to make every month. And if you don't make that payment, what will happen? You will get fined. And what if you cannot pay that fine? See? Let's take it out of the next step like a chess master would. What's going to happen if you can't pay that fine? What is the government going to take away from you?
They're going to garnish your wages. That's what they're going to do. Just like the IRS. That's what
they'll do. They'll just say, you know, we're going to take your children away until you have enough money to buy insurance, because, of course, we want the best for your children, you know. You know, if you have a high paying job, maybe they'll put pressure on the employer there to say, you know, you're really gonna have to become a lower placed person in our company until you can take care of your children.
It's ridiculous. This is what we keep saying. We cannot have this nationalized health care for those various reasons we're talking about, and particularly what we just said. It's what I've been saying all along. It's what everybody else has been saying. Where is the money coming from? How can you possibly put it on the backs of Americans? It's ridiculous. $3,800 is a possibility high water mark. Forget about it. And the GOP is already saying this, by the way. They're not going to sign anything. They're not agreeing. There's no bipartisan cooperation whatsoever.
Kate, how can they call it a public option? What part of the word option don't understand?
Yeah, that's not an option.
If you make somebody do something, it's not an option.
No. We're telling you, you have to. It's a mandate. That's why it was funny when Stephanopoulos got into it with him about the tax, because he was giving him the definition of a tax and what it meant strictly from the dictionary. And again, Obama sidestepped it. It is. It is mandatory. If it's mandatory, it means you have to pay, period. End of story. Tomas, take care, man. 800-259-5791. How about Obama's approval ratings? Actually holding steady right now. I've got that. Plus, he was asked about racism. We'll talk about that as well coming up on the flip side.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
Just walk away, pretending everything's okay, and you don't care about me.
Should we bail out the newspapers across America? That is the question. Wait to hear the latest on that. I'm going to give you the scoop on it. There's actually a bill that's being proposed to do that very thing. But hang on a second. First, here on ATN, let's get to Obama's approval rating. It's holding steady. It's in the mid-50s right now. They had a new, what they call CNN poll of polls, and they cull all the polls that are out there. Pretty accurate stuff, actually. 55% approval rating, so that's kind of close to what he had in August, according to the average of the national surveys. However, remember the early part of the summer was a brutal time for Obama. His approval rating dropped 7 points during that time, but since then he's kind of stabilized somewhere in the 50s. Dropped considerably from when he first stepped foot in office, but it puts him ahead of Bill Clinton and in the same ballpark as Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Richard Nixon. He's well behind both Bushes, but George W. Bush's mid-September ratings for 2001 would be affected, I'm sure, by 9/11. So, you know, it's, events shape this and whatnot. I'll tell you, I have to say, though, and I know I've said this probably for the past 4 months, in my own little poll of people I know from all kinds of walks of life and all kinds of, quote, labels, I'm a libertarian, I'm an independent, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, I am a liberal Democrat, I am a moderate Democrat. Man, I know all kinds of people. And the common denominator, I can say honestly, is people are very frustrated with this White House. They are very frustrated, don't like a lot of the stepping back, depending on their point of view, their ideology, the fact that maybe he's given up too much and then he panders to people or comes back on things or flip-flops. But the common denominator is there is a lot of doubt among the people that that I know, and certainly not all people in the business, of journalism or talk shows or broadcasting in general. I'm saying all walks of life. So it's interesting. I think the push is on for what's going to happen with the GOP, or who knows, maybe this is the time for that third party that keeps getting talked about with the frustration that Americans are feeling. I think a lot of people are going to get booted out of office, at least Congress-wise, when their ticket comes up, if the frustrations continue to bubble up, and I think they will. Obama does the talk show circuit. So one of the things that obviously was huge this week is Jimmy Carter, who several times, once at a speech at Emory and once on a television news show, talked about the fact that he thought Congressman Joe Wilson's outburst, the "you lie," during the speech that Obama made to both chambers, Carter felt that this was him being racist, and that there was this undercurrent, not even undercurrent, but there was this current of racism flooding the nation because we have a black president. So here's Obama answering that question on Meet the Press with David Gregory.
The media loves to have a conversation about race. I mean, this is catnip to the media because it is a running thread in American history that's very powerful, and it evokes some very strong emotions. I'm not saying that race never matters in any of these public debates that we have. What I'm saying is this debate that's taking place is not about race. It's about people being worried about how our government should operate. Now, I think a lot of those folks on the other side are wrong. I think that they have entirely mischaracterized the nature of our efforts, and I think it's important that we stay focused on solving problems as opposed to plucking out a sentence here or a comment there, and then the entire debate, which should be about how do we make sure middle-class families have secure health care, doesn't get consumed by other things.
Okay, so he's saying it's the media, it's a distraction, it's catnip. You heard the description there. Also, he talked about, and here's what I would say, and you already know this. Yes, racism exists, of course, hello. But in the case of Obama, I'm not going to give you that play. I think it's about policy. I think that Carter's wrong. I think that the majority of it is about policy, that people do not like the direction that we're headed in. They don't like all the government bailouts. They don't like the stimulus and everything that entails. You know, there's a long laundry list. And health care and this health care proposal, health reform, health insurance reform, whatever they want to call it this week, has pushed people right over the edge of the cliff. And that's the thing. So now it's interesting to see what happened at the Values Voter Summit in Washington. I'm going to get to that in a second. But what about the possibility of violence erupting in the streets because of the frustrations? Is the president concerned at all about that possibility?
I think that we have an obligation in Washington as leaders to make sure that we are sending a strong message, that we can disagree without being disagreeable, without questioning each other's motives. When we start caricaturing the other side, I think that's a problem. Unfortunately, we've got, as I said before, a 24-hour news cycle where what gets you on the news is controversy. What gets you on the news is the extreme statement. The easiest way to get 15 minutes on the news or your 15 minutes of fame is to be rude. And that's something that I think has to change, and it starts with me, and I've tried to make sure that I've sent a clear signal, and I've tried to maintain an approach that says, look, we can have some serious disagreements, but at the end of the day, I'm assuming that you want the best for America just like I do.
All right, so that's some of what Obama discussed on Meet the Press. He did snub Fox, or the White House did snub Fox. We'll let you hear Chris Wallace's thoughts on that as he visited with Bill O'Reilly and talked about the fact that Fox wasn't part of the Sunday conversation, the push for health care and whatever else the president was talking about with any of the five networks that he spoke to. Speaking to a particular group, this is a fairly religious conservative gathering. It's called the Values Voter Summit in Washington. And over the weekend, that's what was going on. And lots of people were on hand. The former Republican presidential candidate, Mike Huckabee, was there, and he is widely considered to be a 2012 contender for president, right? He was on the ballot for that gathering for this straw poll that they do, along with Huckabee, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, Louisiana Governor Jindal, also former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, Texas Congressman Ron Paul, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty there on the ballot as well, rather, Indiana Congressman Mike Pence and former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum there as well on that ballot. Huckabee wins the, by the way, Mitt Romney also on that. Huckabee won the straw poll Saturday, got about 29% of the vote. Romney, Pawlenty, Palin, Pence had about 12% of the 597 votes that were cast. Just four of the eight prospective GOP standard bearers spoke at that three-day conference. Romney, Pence, Huckabee, Pawlenty, all speaking. Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, spoke as well, but he asked that his name be removed from the straw poll ballot. He hasn't said whether or not he's going to jump into the fray. I guess he just decided he didn't want to be as part of that poll. So what does this tell you? Does this tell us anything? It's sort of putting the radar out there as to who could possibly be the front runner, who's got some juice heading into this as, you know, that train continues down the tracks. And the former Massachusetts governor has been very critical of the healthcare overhaul and Obama's plan specifically. There's no question about that. In fact, I guess when he was talking to the crowd, somebody told me somebody yelled out, he lied. And then there was people that, you know, that laughed and applauded from the crowd. And pretty much all of them blasted the government control. But Romney also came under fire because of his efforts to reform healthcare in Massachusetts. Because Huckabee is saying, look, this is what he did. The only thing inexpensive about Massachusetts' healthcare bill is that there you can get a $50 abortion. Ooh, and that hurt Romney. Stay with us, talking about newspapers next.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When looking at your personal preparedness level, remember the freeze-dried guy. During times of physical and emotional stress like the uncertain times we live in today, it is vital that you not alter your diet too much. You should only store what you usually eat, because one day you may have to eat only what you have stored. Lucky for you, there's the freeze-dried guy. Featuring the superior nutrition and taste you've come to expect, the freeze-dried guy has a wide variety of choices in freeze-dried foods. All freeze-dried foods are no-cook products, requiring only hot water and a few minutes of your time. The freeze-dried guy has been serving various government agencies as well as the private sector with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. Consider the technological advances made in computers from the punch card days of the 60s and 70s to the high-speed personal computers of today. Comparably, the advances made in food storage from the World War II era till now are equally great. Visit the website at www.freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home, paycheck, and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. We also provide mortgage modification services, which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure problems, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
On our third hour of America's Night, we'll reveal whether or not anybody actually nailed the score. The game of the week in the NFL, of course, the Giants visiting the Dallas Cowboys. Kate Delaney hanging with you here on ATN, coast to coast and everywhere in between. All right, newspapers. You know, I grew up reading a newspaper. I like the USA Today when I'm in an airport terminal or traveling around somewhere. Even in the car, you stop and try to figure out what's going on, even though I have the iPhone. And, well, I did have a laptop computer till it broke. But, you know, I have a technology in my hands that I don't have to have a paper. But I like to read a paper once in a while. And I definitely come from a family that always had the paper delivered. We would never not have the Philadelphia Inquirer on our doorstep. You have to have the Inquirer, even if we have the internet. But papers are becoming relics, dying breed. I mean, the advertising is going south, and it's very tough for people to keep, very tough for the newspaper industry right now. In fact, probably the worst of anything media-wise. So check this out. Senator Ben Cardin, Democrat from Maryland, has introduced S-673. It's called the Newspaper Revitalization Act. What it would do would be to give outlets tax deals if they were to restructure as 501 corporations, okay? So far, there is one co-sponsor, and that is the Maryland colleague of Ben Cardin. The White House press secretary, Robert Gibbs, is playing down the whole possibility of government assistance for news organizations because, you know, they've obviously been hit hard by the dwindling ad revenue. And the president is now saying that good, or has said, that good journalism is critical to the health of our democracy, but is expressing concerns toward growing trends in reporting, especially on political blogs, from a groundswell of support for his campaign emerged during the presidential election. Because, you know, so now he's saying, oh, I don't like these political blogs. Well, of course not, because they're criticizing you, but you liked them when you were campaigning. The blogosphere is different. That's all opinions. It's not fact-checking. It's different. It's obviously like a town hall meeting in a sense versus newspapers, etc. So the president is saying he's happy to look at bills before Congress so that he would possibly give his blessing to struggling news organizations, give them the tax breaks, if they were to restructure as non-profit businesses. Uh-huh. That was what was told to the editors of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and the Toledo Blade. They both contacted the president. So here's the thing. Who's next to get money? Right? Wall Street. You've got the auto workers. What about everybody else? Somebody said to me, okay, when do nurses get a bailout? What about real estate agents? Do they get a bailout? When do the rest of us get bailouts? We're spending way too much money bailing out way too many people. I mean, no more bailouts, period. Why would they do that? You think it's interesting, too, because supposedly the push of the White House is going green and we're going to have green jobs and that's going to help save us and all these people without jobs, we're going to have these green industries. And once we get the right czar to run it, because we lost our last czar, we're going to make everything green. Well, the newspapers aren't green, I hate to tell you, because they're cutting down trees, right? Doesn't that lead to, the so-called global warming? So giving money back to the papers. What do the papers, newspapers, do to stimulate the economy? They employ a handful of people, absolutely. You know, newspaper reporters, hey, lots of people I like are writers who I think are fair and balanced, actually. At least some of the ones that I know. But newsprint is old technology, right? It is. And you gotta be kidding me with this bailing out the newspapers. And who are you employing? I guess the newsprinters, the people that drive the trucks, the people who deliver newspapers, but so many people aren't subscribing to newspapers now. Does your phone ring with these special offers from your local newspaper? That I have to think even the people who are delivering newspapers, that there has to be a cutback there because not as many people are getting the newspapers. But if you look at some of the newspapers and the columnists and all that other sort of stuff, Obama bailing out the media, I mean, probably in most cases that would be the media that's supporting him. So that might be a little bit fishy to a few people, too. But the bottom line is, who's going to be in line first? How do you decide what newspaper should get the bailouts? New York Times, they're in trouble. Should New York Times be the first organization to get bailed out? Right? Because think of the newspapers, how many of the newspapers do you think are fair and balanced? Liberal newspapers are, some of them anyway, are in trouble because where are they getting their information from? They're getting their information from a lot of the online sites like Huffington Post. bottom line is this is insanity. We're doing the same thing again and again and again and again and thinking we're going to get some kind of a different result. We have to stop spending, right? So seriously, it would be a stupid thing for Congress to do, and that's why there's only one co-sponsor so far, right? So what are we going to have? A 501 tax status to existing news organizations. That's socializing news organizations, right? Taxpayers paying for it. That's what it is. So what is it, state-run? State-run media? We don't want state-run media. Just think about it. In Korea, they have this daily hum behind their heads. It's a little radio that they put on the wall, and the propaganda is spilled out hourly, constantly. And when we've talked, state-run newspaper says whatever. Venezuela is a great example of that. Cuba, whatever. It's whatever propaganda the administration pumps out. So it's not a good idea, I think, to go down this path anyway for the possibilities and what can of worms it could open up. And I just don't think you need this to happen because we've already had way too many bailouts. I mean, we are dying on the vine with the spending, and this is definitely one direction not to go into. The newspapers did a disservice to themselves by getting on board the hip train way too late. Part of the problem is when you're a dinosaur, you have to look above the tree line. You got to get the tallest guy in there to visualize what's coming down the road. And so they didn't do that because there were things, I don't know if you could have saved every single newspaper, but there were things that newspapers could have done to pump up the volume, and that could have included blogs. And of course, now many of them are doing that, but they could have been on the cutting edge of this, in other words, and found a way to, you know, marry all three things, the blogs and the social networking to good old-fashioned newsprint, and perhaps it would have stretched things a little bit longer. But I think most people are getting so much of their news anymore from the Internet, whether it's blogs or whether it's something else, that's where people are going instead of some of the traditional sources. So it's pretty tough for those that are in the print business anyway. But I think it'd be a big mistake to bail out the newspapers. I really, really do. And I hope that does not become a reality. And how do you decide and what papers get in line? You know, how many newspapers there are in this country and how many of them are struggling? So what's the fair thing to do here ultimately? And that's part, I think, of the problem of this. And now you've got taxpayers paying for the newspapers that they don't even want to pay for, because even if they like the traditional newspaper, they know they can go online and they can cut that out of their budgets and save money that way, or just get the Sunday paper, or maybe a couple of times they pick up the paper during the week. A lot of people, older folks who like the traditional newspaper, even they have cut back because it's a way that they can save a little cash here and there. I mean, let's be honest about it. So the question becomes, do you think that the newspaper business should be bailed out? Would you be on board for that? If I jump on the air in the next couple of weeks and say, oh my gosh, this bill is out there and now it's actually picking up steam, do you agree with it? Should we bail out the newspaper? Should we bail out the New York Times, for example? Should we bail out some of the others that are finding that it's hard to stay above water because of the advertising, etc.? But Obama is open to the newspaper bailout, and that's the bottom line. And there is one co-sponsor. Where it goes from there, I hope nowhere. I hope this does not become another let's spend some more money, we need to do this, because it does get ridiculous. Then everybody should stand in line and plead their case as to why they should get a bailout. I mean, everybody should be open to a bailout then. Just push all the money out there. We could have stimulated the economy better if we had just cut people checks anyway, because I think people would have spent some of the money even if they paid off some bills. So should newspapers get federal bailout money? No, no, and no. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Chris Wallace sounding off on Fox getting snubbed by the Prez.
The phone rings and the questions are asked. I've been so sick. Will the Life Change Tea help me? Our answer is always the same. Yes, toxins and chemicals from food, water, and air are attacking you this very moment. Fight back with our all-natural detoxifying tea that works immediately. Many companies use gimmicks and misleading free trials for their campaign. We use results. Life Change Tea's formula, created by a PhD, has been around for over 20 years. There are things happening in the world that are unseen and not healthy. The public has reached its all-time record for chronic sickness. This atrocity won't change unless you call us right now. Our number is 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, we have the cheapest shipping in the industry.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for Ixquick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. Airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Everybody who sent in emails over the weekend and from the tail end of last week, I promise we'll get to a mailbag segment coming up in another hour here on America Tonight. You can send us an email day or night, americatonight.net, or dial in these digits, 800-259-5791. Let's go to Brad, who's listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Brad.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm good. I was just listening to you about talking about these bailouts.
Yeah.
Of course, it started. All started with AIG, and they were
yes.
the number one provider. Well, isn't
yeah.
there like a number two guy just waiting to take over the number one spot? So
usually, AIG, yes.
So if the number one guy falls and, you know, goes bankrupt or out of business, doesn't the number two guy just step in and take over the number one spot?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about the newspapers, the New York Times. Is that the only newspaper that, you know, New Yorkers have? No. So if it goes away, I'm sure there's going to be the number two guy to come in there and take over their spot.
Oh, yeah. And they've got a couple. Newsday and the New York Post. You're right. Yeah.
So that's going to increase their business, make their business stronger because they've got to hire more people now because they're getting more coverage now and they've put out more product now. So it would be good for that company. I mean, it's too bad that the first company, whoever, you know, goes bankrupt, but I don't think we should bail them out. And you're right, we're just throwing money away. Why aren't we saving them? I mean, isn't that the way America works? Number one doesn't make it, they trip and fall. Well, the number two guy steps in and goes from there, and they become the number one guy.
Right, and that can happen to you and I, Brett. That happens to us in our life. So who's protecting you? Do you have the shield around you? Do I? No. The answer is no, unless we work for the New York Times, I guess, or the particular industry like the three dreaded letters that you brought up, AIG or whoever. But we're not doing that. So then you could take every individual. You could look on your block. I could look on mine, and we could all say that everybody's struggling. They had to lay people off. They had to do this. They had to do that. Then where are their bailouts?
Right.
Yeah, it's not good.
We're not big enough for a bailout.
That's right. Exactly. We have to organize. That's it.
Right.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, have a good night.
You too. All right, so Brad agrees with me, and he's right, bringing up the first one, the first one that fell, AIG. And where do you draw that line? Where is it if newspapers are next? And then ultimately, who do the newspapers owe if they're saved by the politicians? Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. I mean, shame on them. They weren't on the cutting edge. What about everybody else that was? They changed their print. They changed the size of their publication, or they changed something they did, or they added more blogs or links or this or that faster than the other guys did. And he's right. It's capitalism, baby. I mean, We don't have somebody looking out for us. That's what it is. The next guy, he's absolutely right. The next guy in line cherry picks. I mean, they're the beneficiaries of somebody who doesn't perform well. Somebody who is outplayed by the guy underneath them. I mean, that's the whole idea, right? Competition. Look around you. There's competition everywhere, from the big grocery store chains to the mom and pop stores, whatever, right? All right, let's move on to Chris Watts. And he was on O'Reilly's show because he was talking about the fact that his Sunday show was not going to have an appearance by the president of the United States, who was going on all the other shows, including Univision and CNN and, of course, the usual fare, which is ABC and CBS and NBC. So what about the snub, Chris Wallace?
Even though we try to be fair to the president, he doesn't seem to like us very much. On Sunday, he's doing all the chat shows except for Fox News Sunday, starring Chris Wallace, who joins us now. He just doesn't like you.
No, he doesn't like you, too.
Look, big mistake, but it's so blatant that you would think that the Obama administration, why do they want, and I've asked this question to a number of people, not you, why do they want to fight with Fox News? Why do they want that?
Well, I can understand a fight with some people on Fox News. I mean, obviously, Glenn Beck has a point of view, and, you know, I think from their point of view is constantly beating on him. I think they feel that way about Sean Hannity. But you've just sat there and separated yourself from a lot of conservative critics and said, you know, I'm not sure about the missile defense. I must say, that's exactly my position. I think that Fox News Sunday is a truly fair and valid show.
You're not an ideological show at all.
No, and it's like they refuse to take yes for an answer. There's a kind of childishness or pettiness about it.
It's an immaturity that if you don't hoe our line, we're just going to ice you. But here's the deal. I want your opinion on this. You worked for ABC News for how long?
11 years.
Okay. And your father, for about your father, Mike Wallace, the CBS guy, you're rooted there in the network news. It's over. The power shift in the media is now with Fox News and talk radio. And the Obama administration doesn't seem to understand that. They can go on B shows, CNN, but it doesn't matter anymore. We matter because the people that need to be persuaded are watching us, the independents who make the calls.
Absolutely. And the fact that they would go and self-consciously do CBS and ABC and NBC and CNN and Univision. I mean, you know, I'm not in any way denigrating Univision, but it is not on the regular roster of Sunday talk shows. Frankly, I think elevates us. It is, when I covered, real quickly, when I covered Ronald Reagan for NBC in the 80s, you know, some days you do a good piece, a positive piece, about some days you do a tough piece. And you'd come in the next day, and they always treated you professionally, and I think it came from the top down, from the old man, Reagan, who felt, you know, I'm going to get a good review today and a bad review tomorrow, and
right.
It's nothing personal.
Right.
These guys, everything is personal. I got to tell you,
everything.
Bill, they are the biggest bunch of crybabies I have dealt with in my 30 years in Washington.
And I can't.
They constantly are on the phone or emailing me complaining, well, you had this guest, or
right.
You did this thing. I mean, they are working the umps all the time. I think it works with the others. It doesn't work with me.
All right, I kind of like that Chris Wallace called them the biggest bunch of crybabies. I kind of like that. I kind of like that gig that he threw the way of the Washington or the administration, the White House administration. So no Fox appearance. Hey, I will say this: Fox does have the highest ratings. O'Reilly's show tops them all. I'm sure it infuriates MSNBC and Keith Olbermann and Rachel Maddow and all those guys. But the ratings are the ratings, and the deal is, in all forms of media, if you're not getting the ratings, you're not going to stay. You're not selling the soap, you're not going to stay. And that's just the truth. It is what it is, right? And they do. They obviously have people that watch Fox because they're very good at what they do, right? They're very good at what they do. They definitely have, let's say, a special niche, and that niche has definitely struck a chord with enough people that they can say to MSNBC, yeah, whatever, when O'Reilly and Olbermann go back and forth, because their bosses care about the ratings and the money that's being brought in. Mildred is listening to us in Kentucky. Hey, Mildred.
Hello, Kate. This is my first, really, I've called twice. I enjoy your show. I've been listening to you ever since you've been on the air. Actually,
thank you.
I listened to Ernie Brown when he was on.
And oh, that's nice.
But I agree with everything you say. I think President Obama, in my opinion of him, is that he's just a big child. And when he makes his speeches, does it always sound like to you somewhere in that speech that he's everything's going to be his way? I mean, you know, he don't care what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I think he's like used to being the popular guy, Mildred, and I don't think he likes it when people don't, that when they don't like him. He wants to be the popular guy, but it's not working for him at all. And that's part of the problem. I think Chris Wallace had a point when he said they were a bunch of crybabies. Thank you for the call. We're so glad that you're listening. I'll tell EB, because we still have dinner together sometimes, that you say hello from Kentucky. We're going to leave you with this. Always stand up for what you believe in, even if you stand alone.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.